haters of good and lovers of worse, though stripping the skin of them from off of them and the flesh of them from off their bones, who also wolf down the flesh of my people, stripping the skin clean off. Even these bones of them they snap and pulverize in order to boil them with the flesh in the midst of the kettle. That's Micah chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 for today's scripture. Little children, from the Word Green version of 2003. It's not speaking about literal cannibalism, perhaps, but rather figurative cannibalism, although it conceivably could be literal, but it's talking about people who are treating God's people in a very harsh way. But it's also, it's talking about these, in verse 1, the leaders of Israel are the ones who are doing this to their own people. And the princes, as well as the chiefs, are mentioned there in the Word Green translation. But there's a theme there. It's a recurring theme in the Bible where the shepherds of God's people are not treating them well. If we go in the 1984 New World Translation, trying to think, is it Ezekiel 34? Something about Jeremiah 23, I think, and Ezekiel 34. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasturage, is the utterance of Jehovah, Jeremiah 23 and 1. And Ezekiel, this is just easy to remember, 34, 23 and of Jeremiah, but 34 of Ezekiel. For some reason that sticks in my mind. It says, Ezekiel 34 and 2, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Now the interesting thing about Micah is that the book of Micah is, and this study, I might make it for several days instead of just one day, because I need to catch up on rest and sleep and so on. But, and I need time to do other things, or else those other things will never be done. You know, there are just other things that are not essential, but if I don't have time for them, they won't be done at all. Things that are just perhaps creative things, or, you know, things that are nice things, occupations to that can be done, research or perhaps songwriting and thing, all sorts of different things that could be done, for which I need time. But Micah chapter 3 and verse 3 there, but we were just talking about 2 and 3, verses 2 and 3. But if we look, so it's Micah 3 and 3. Jeremiah 23 of Jeremiah, and Ezekiel 34. But if we look also at Micah chapter 2, it's talking about in 2 and 3, just like Jeremiah 23, Micah 2 and 3, Jehovah is thinking up a calamity against this family. His own people, that is. He's prophesying about the destruction of his own people. And, of course, it eventually came about for the land of Judah, the southern kingdom, with, first of all, the northern kingdom of Israel, with the capital at Samaria, having been destroyed in 7, or captured in 719 in our chronology. And 719, the date of that, is another really, really well-established date. Not just in our chronology, but in in the conventional best chronology, that's a really good date that really also proves our chronology, is the fall of Samaria in 719 BCE, having undergone a siege, that city, from 722 to 719 BCE, which was, how many years was that before 587? You have to add 13 to get to 600, then 100. Get to 700, that's 113. 113 plus 19 is 132. So 132 plus another 3 would be 22 plus 13, 135, right? 135 years prior to the destruction of Jerusalem, Samaria was captured. Now that's in our chronology, not everyone's chronology. Actually, in fact, very few other people have the same chronology. Although many have the date of the destruction of Jerusalem at 587, that's a commonly held date. It's hard to disprove that one because it's so well established, but by the Babylonian records and astronomy and all the records that they kept of astronomy during that time period in the Babylonian Empire, just prove it beyond a doubt. In the king's lists, all the business documents, they all prove 587 as the destruction of Jerusalem, but and that's because King Nebuchadnezzar's year one is 604, based on all of those things also. Consistent with all those things. 604 BCE, year 1 of Nebuchadnezzar, 587. Year 18 of Nebuchadnezzar, the destruction of Jerusalem, and also what's not so well proven, as we just said, but it seems it's not as well proven, but the fall of Samaria in 719. What's he saying in chapter 1? Yeah, these things were prophesied in the days of Hezekiah. In Micah chapter 1, verse 1, and some of the kings that were just prior to Hezekiah, including Hezekiah's own fleshly father, Ahaz. Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, the kings that just came as far as Hezekiah, who was the king during... He was the king of Judah, the southern kingdom, during the time when Samaria in the north was captured. And he's talking about Samaria also. And down in verse 5 of chapter 1, and mentions Judah as well, and Jerusalem. So they're all in revolt. They're all rebelling against God. In that verse, and in that chapter 1 of Micah. So, Micah is a prophecy against God's people, and it foretells the destruction of Jerusalem. And Clark mentions, of course, this. He says in his commentary that this chapter foretells the destruction of Jerusalem. And he mentions Micah chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, which is the chapter we're studying currently, actually, that we did part of today. So that's it for today's study in the book of Micah. And resuming our article study, Joseph and On, we got to the chapter, or the part, it's not a chapter, there are no chapter numbers, it's just... The Great Sphinx of Giza, the illustrations are kind of like the chapter numbers, I suppose. We got to the Great Sphinx of Giza with a view of the face, where we were talking about France and when slavery was abolished in France, which was about 1821. But in Britain, we mentioned also that the slave trade was declared piracy, which in 1827... We didn't mention this, but it became punishable by death in that year, 1827, of the Common Era, which again is very close to the 1820 or 1821 BCE mirror date on the other side of the Common Era, before the Common Era, an equal number of years on the other side of the turn of the Common Era, which was around about the time of Jesus, roughly, you know, when Jesus was about 5 years old or so. That was when the Common Era turned from BCE to CE, from 1 BCE to 1 CE, with no zero in between. But Jesus was born at the very end of the year 6 BCE, as we cover in another article, Born and Raised. But on May 15th, 1820 CE, continuing our reading now in Joseph and Owen, May 15th, 1820 CE, that is 1820 of our Common Era, the U.S. law on slave trade declared it was illegal for U.S. citizens to trade in slaves, making it punishable by death. Did we cover that already? Wait a minute now. I want to search for that date, 1820, because I thought we mentioned that earlier, and I just want to make sure that I know where we are. Well, it was mentioned in the illustration, too, of the ship, the slave ship, which is much earlier in the article. Right. Yeah, no, we did mention it earlier in the paragraph that began with the illustration of Johannes Gutenberg, right? It's mentioned in that paragraph about the date of the U.S. law on slave trade, 1820 CE, right? And now it's mentioned again, May 15th being a more specific date for that, in that year 1820. Now we come to the illustration called Marine in the Apotheosis of Washington, the United States Capitol Building, Washington, D.C., an 1865 painting by Constantino Brumidi, who lived from 1805 to 1880. Let's get that. Well, there it is. There it is. It's a bigger version of it there. So, you can see that it looks like Poseidon is in that illustration there with his trident. And we've seen, even though we didn't expect Greek mythology to really be historical in any sense, like we didn't expect any accurate correlation of Greek mythology with any historical figures, we have found and we're continuing to find a correlation between the Greek mythology as well as the Roman and Egyptian mythology and the Bible. We're finding the correlation between the Bible, so it makes it historical. It makes the Bible historical also. It makes them both confirmed, and it cements everything together by being able to correlate these. I was looking at this remarkable thing. If we look up Libya in Wikipedia, the name of a god, or goddess actually, a goddess called Libya, disambiguation, Libya, a country, mythology, a daughter of Egyptian king, right. What's this? Is this still? The Greek myth, that's what we want right there. If we look at that article, oh no, still haven't found it. Okay, I still haven't found it. It's curious. There is an article in Wikipedia. I was looking at it last day or so. Yes, the archive, this one. Archive genealogy in Greek mythology. That's it. It is here. Okay, there it is. Look at this. It's so dark. There it is. Yeah. So it's in the article about the goddess Libya. And it's in some other articles too, but that's the way that I find it more easily at the moment. But you see, Poseidon is there marrying Libya, and we see that Poseidon in this genealogy has two sons, Belus and Agenor, and they were said to be twin sons, which is curious because we know Jacob was a twin of Isaac, and so even though Jacob's the father of Joseph, and Poseidon is, we think, correlated to Joseph very well, it's still the idea of twin sons is there. And Agenor would correspond to the younger son, because it seems like that's the case, since he was the son, Jacob died at the age of 100, and what was it for Jacob? I can't remember what age he died now. 140-something, I think. Well, there's so many things, right? There's so many things in our articles that we need to... And in, not just our articles, but in the Bible, that we need to be really... competent in. You see, this Agenor has a son called Phoenix and a son called Cadmus. So also Agenor corresponds to the later king called Achenenry. That's almost the same letters, Agenor and Achenenry. And so we have, and his son Camuti corresponds perfectly with Cadmus. It looks like Cadmus and Camuti. So we have Agenor and Camuti, Achenenry and Camuti, Apophis and his son Camuti. They're in there too. But that's because myths correlates to different time periods. But Phoenix, then, corresponds to Moses, who at the time of Camuti, he was in Egypt at the time of Camuti, when the Hyksos rulers, two of whom were Apophis and his son Camuti, they were expelled from Egypt right at the time of Moses being about 40 years old. In our chronology, that's exactly when it happened. And so he's the Phoenix, right, who returns to bury his father when he returned to, much later, to Israel with Joseph's bones. And then Joshua crossed the Jordan and Moses died before that, but Joseph's bones were brought back by Moses. So he's a Phoenix and fits this time period. But Poseidon and Agenor can refer to Ephraim, too, who was a warrior who we believe also went back to Israel. But Joseph himself returned the bones of his father Jacob. So he was a Phoenix in that sense. But Belus is the other brother, and he could be Manasseh. I'm not sure which son would be which, but there's Manasseh and Ephraim, the two horns of the bull that are mentioned in the Bible too, in the prophecy of Jacob, the two horns of the bull being the sons of Joseph. So we're looking for correlation between the myths and Joseph now that we know more about Poseidon being the same person as Joseph. And so we just, today's not the day to delve into that any more deeply, I think, but that you see that there are a lot of things in that archive genealogy. There's Zeus mentioned too. Zeus, right? He's supposed to be the brother of Poseidon too, but you see he appears in different places. He appears down below at a later time relative to Poseidon, and it's like 3-4 generations after, and he also appears 2 generations prior. And Zeus was said to have a lot of sexual escapades, but that fits Judah because he had relations with Tamar, she'd been married to one of the sons of Judah, and Judah wouldn't give her another one of she'd been married to two of the sons actually of Judah, and they'd both died, and Judah wasn't willing to give another son to be married to Tamar, so she ended up pretending to be a prostitute and getting pregnant by means of Judah. So that's why the correlation is good between Zeus having sexual escapades and Judah, who became the father of the twins. His twins, Perez, and who was his other son? Judah and... Why is that escaping me? There are just so many different things. Okay, let's look up Perez and we'll find it. But the Perez became the one from whom the royal lineages came is what the best theory is about that. It was Zerah. It was Zerah. I'm sorry. Zerah is the one. Yeah, yeah. It was Perez became the progenitor of the Messiah. That's right. So that royal lineage came through Perez, but the other royal lineages came through Zerah, the brother of Perez. See, Judah in Matthew chapter 1, verse 3 became father to Perez and to Zerah by Tamar. That was his daughter-in-law, Tamar. So Perez and Zerah. And Zerah became the royal lineage progenitor for all the royal families, we believe, in Europe, like England and all these places. But Perez was the messianic line. Now, the Missouri Compromise of 1820, as we continue Joseph and on, 1820, there was a compromise called the Missouri Compromise, which marked the first instance of congressional exclusion of slavery from public territory for land acquired since the Northwest Ordinance in the territory of the United States. A free state called Maine was admitted to the Union on March 15th, 1820 CE. It was intended, firstly, to help maintain balance in the number of quote-unquote free compared to quote-unquote slave states. When Missouri was admitted in 1821 CE. In other words, the next year. So, another slave state was admitted after the admission of the free state of Maine in 1820. So, as we look in the quote-unquote mirror, it is by no means certain whether a son of Jacob named Levi died in Egypt in 1821 or 1820. A further testing of the genealogy may be required, but does not seem to be needed for these dates at the moment. Wikipedia Missouri Compromise, Wikipedia, with the reference. Slavery was abolished in France February 4th, 1794 CE, and was reinstated by Napoleon on May 20th, 1802 of the Common Era. Once again, it was abolished on April 27th, 1848 CE, about a century before Israel declared national independence. We know that was May 14th, 1948. The year 1794 CE, mirrored in the Common Era as 1794 BCE, is about 100 years after Senusret II became pharaoh in Egypt. In 1993 CE, Nelson Mandela got the Nobel Peace Prize. That was about 500 years after slavery got its start in America. With the colonization by Columbus in the year 1493. That's another 500 years. The Phoenix, 500 years, returning to bury his father is one version of the myth. Of course, the 500 years corresponds approximately to the 400 years of slavery, or the 430 years of Egyptian residence when the Israelites lived in Egypt, and thus 500 years after the door opened to slave trade in the Americas in 1493 of the Common Era, when Columbus went on his second expedition to the West Indies and South Africa after those 500 years which elapsed between 1493 and 1993 saw the end of apartheid. 1993, South Africa. The historical city of Babylon, ancient Mesopotamia, is a picture here. It's a rather beautiful wide view, isn't it, this photograph? Unfortunately, it doesn't display very well here because we can't magnify it without losing it. It's not high resolution anyway, so I guess that's not a problem. We see the people standing there are quite tiny with respect to this structure, which appears to be missing a lot of walls. The walls have fallen down, but there's still an extensive foundation with many rooms. Many, many rooms, and the walls are quite thick. These walls are many, many feet thick, like 10 feet thick, something like that, or maybe even slightly more, I don't know. Very thick walls. And the foundational wall, the base of the walls, I suppose, is what we're looking at, rather than the foundation, but the base of the walls is seen for all these individual rooms in this immense complex, which is, I don't know, dozens of yards in length and width. It's just quite extensive. That's at the site Al-Hilla, which isn't that Babylon. Yes, that's the name of the ancient city of Babylon. The modern name is called Al-Hilla. It's in Iraq. It's near Baghdad, I believe. In the Babil province of Iraq, this town, Al-Hilla. It's a very brown-colored photograph with a blue sky and sort of the tan color of the bricks and the maybe a slight reddish tinge, just beautiful, but fairly plain looking. The color of dirt, I guess you could say. We might appreciate the truth in its different facets, and by the depth of its luster, the Archbishopric of Canterbury was consecrated in about 597 CE, the mirror date for Jerusalem's captivity of 597 BCE. So 597 CE, the Archbishopric of Canterbury was consecrated. The mirror date for Jerusalem's captivity of 597, which we said before was about 10 years before, and some 10 years and some months before the destruction of Jerusalem in 587 BCE. Now, Archbishop Augustine, not the same one as St. Austin or Augustine of Hippo, in 597 CE, he was the Archbishop of Canterbury who was appointed at that time. And he thus reflects the captivity of Jehoiakim in 597 BCE. Jerusalem destroyed in 587, let's just call it different from what it's saying in the text. It says 586, we're going to call it 587. Jerusalem destroyed in 587 BCE when the first temple, which was Solomon's temple, was burned. And we know more accurately now it was 587. Is in the mirror a reflection of the year that Pretextatus, or St. Pre, the Archbishop of Rouen, died. We mentioned Rollo. Rouen is named after Rollo. It's one of my ancestors. The Archbishop of Rouen died in that year, which was 586 CE. Okay, that's just one different from 587 on the other side of the destruction of Jerusalem. So we could redo this article and find out what happened in 587 of the Common Era, just to be more exact. But also, Visigothic King Ricared became king in 586 CE. In 538 BCE, a Persian king named Cyrus ruled in Babylon for his first year, while in the mirror in 538 CE, King Arthur, the legendary king, died. And Gregory of Tours, the historian, was born in 538 CE, whereas King Cyrus had his first official year in 538 BCE of the other side, BCE. But let's look at that year 587 of the Common Era. We can do that. So we go to the Wikipedia. Let's not go away from our genealogy, but let's look up the year 587 of the Common Era calendar year. If we look for that in Wikipedia, we'll find out all the things that happened in that year. Right? And we look down. Fortifications along the Danube River in the Eastern Roman Empire, and an assembly of troops by the Byzantine general Comentiolus, and what else? King Recared renounces Arianism. Oh my goodness. So we just mentioned Recared in our article, didn't we? King Recared became king in 586, but in 587 we see that he renounced Arianism in favor of Catholicism. You see, the Catholics believe in the Trinity, for one thing, which is different from Arianism. Even though Arianism is debated and some people actually are claiming that Arian believed the Trinity, they don't understand what Arian taught, however. But we're going to have to talk about that. I think we're going to get to that, too, in this article. But many... Okay, let's just carry on. There are many other things that happened in these in this year, 587. There was a treaty, Treaty of Antelot, which is fascinating. I love the stories of the Franks and the Empire of the Franks. That's King Childebert II. Oh, that's so fascinating to me now because I've written some articles on that had these people. After, you know, in the time period, in and around the time of Charlemagne, and long before him too, but the Battle of Shigizan occurred in that year, 587. The Liang Dynasty ended. You look at that in China, in 587. It's fascinating, isn't it? So we can, update our mirror dates in the genealogy now, because we have a more accurate date for the destruction of Jerusalem in 587, since the time of Joseph and Noah in the article. But that's it for today's study, pretty well. We have the death of the Emperor of Japan in the year 587, too. Born in 540, but died in 587 of the Common Era. Any other noteworthy deaths and births? We have to look at it, but... births... Suderic II, the King of Austrasia, was born in that year, 587. So, it's February 13th, 2025, of the Common Era, once again. Our video comes to an end, and it's 0211 hours, Canadian Eastern Time. I'm Ward Green, and thank you so much for listening and watching. In my behalf, this is Sissy, and this is Star, saying bye for now. We'll hopefully be back very soon to continue, but I may need some more time before the next study. And Gregory, wow, he's a very famous historian, Gregory of Tours, as mentioned toward the end of this paragraph, died 594 of the Common Era of natural causes.